Luke chapter 11. I want to thank Sam for the great job he did last week on teaching on prayer. And in verse 14, Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, sorry, I'll stop for a second because there are some people still flicking. We all there? Okay, Luke 11, 14. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against itself," did I just say that? Sorry, I was distracted for a second there. "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man and goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it, then it says, 'I'll return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that man is worse than the first." As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Let's begin with a word of prayer together. Our dear God, Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, that we're here today. Father, thank you for your word, just for the promises you give us through your word. Father, I thank you, Father, that what we read here today can really apply to our lives. And Father, I really pray that we can learn the message for us today. Be with me, Lord. Just really work through me. And just, Father, I come to you just weak in so many ways. And I just pray that that you lift me up, Father, and you work through me, Lord, in a powerful way today. I pray that the message is clear. Our hearts are receptive, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I don't know if you've ever read this before and thought, what in the Sam Hill? You know, what is going on here? You know, I've got the title for my lesson today is The Battle Begins. The Battle Begins. You know, in Mark chapter 3, we read this same account. So it happens fairly early in Jesus' ministry. And I think Jesus seems to outline here pretty quickly that there's a spiritual battle going on. You know, it's fairly clear to say, it's pretty clear, I think, to say and come to the conclusion that while Jesus walked the earth, demon activity was at a high. I know people will question that today. Well, what about today? Is it the same? It's tricky. But if you look at Revelation chapter 12, when it talks about the dragon and the battle that was going on and what happened when Jesus entered the world, I think it's fair to say that there was a fair bit going on, more than I think probably happens today. And the battle really began. And I think Jesus was going to show from this text, I think it really begins clear that there's something spiritual going on here that's pretty powerful. And Jesus is here to make a point of who's going to be the victor at the end of the day. Obviously, the battle there was definitely demonic, and sometimes it wasn't always demonic. And today, for a lot of us, I don't think a lot of us struggle necessarily with demons, even though we call them demons, and you know, we often use that expression, "Oh man, I feel like I'm demon-possessed," or, you know, I know I've mentioned this before, you get a little two-year-old, you think, "Oh, I'm sure they're demon-possessed." You know, some of our children, the way they behave, you think, "Oh man, what's wrong with this kid? It can't be of this world." And sometimes in our own hearts, in our own minds, you may feel that yourself. Some of the struggles we go through, some of the battles you fight, some of the things you have to face, you may think, "Man, what power is out there working against me?" And sometimes it's self-inflicted. I will agree with that. But sometimes there are things outside of your control and you wonder what is going on. It can be sickness. It can be what appears to be just simply bad luck. I mean, all sorts of things happen in our lives. You wonder, why does one thing happen to one person and not to someone else? Why was this guy, not everybody back in the first century was demon-possessed. Not everybody, like in John 9, was born blind so that Jesus could come along and heal them. I don't have the answers to all those questions. Sometimes some people just seem to have these, life seems to kind of fall nicely, and other people seems to fall not too nicely. The Bible seems to indicate to me sometimes the guy who has to go through the adversary is more blessed than the person that doesn't. James 1 talks about, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So we need to, you know, every cloud has a silver lining. No matter what's going on, there's something good going on behind it. Here Jesus lays out, I think, you know, the battle begins. You know, somebody in the crowd decides to come up and say, you know, Jesus, by the prince of demons, you know, you're driving this out. I don't know who this person was, but I don't know what they were thinking. But that didn't surely make a lot of sense. But if Jesus demon possessed to drive out a demon from someone, didn't make a lot of sense, right? And this was not a smart thing to say. I mean, they just opened the door for Jesus to step right in and say, let me really tell you what's going on here. You know, can a kingdom divided against itself stand? What are you talking about? It was a very common line in 1858. Probably Abraham Lincoln's famous speech was the divided house speech. He did this speech. He said, with regards to the nation back then of America, he says, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And he was right, right? They couldn't stand, and there was a civil war, and a lot of people lost their lives because of that division, because they could not unite. I want to talk a little bit about unity right now. My first point, united we stand, divided we fall. Now you know there's a song, right? There's always a song. Do you know what it is? You know who sang it? Do you know who? Does anybody, if somebody knows here who sang United We Stand, Divided We Fall, I will be amazed. That's not a bad guess, but no, it wasn't. No, I looked it up, so sorry. This is not a question of might be's. This is, so it was called, the group was called the Brotherhood of Man. Did anyone know that? Anyone ever heard of them? The Brotherhood of Man? All right. Anyway, so how does the song go? You ready to sing it with me? Yep. United we stand, divided we fall. No one's singing. And if our back should be against the wall, we'll be together, together, you and me, me and you. Anyway. No. Church banquet. Yeah, that's right. I'll get the song for the church banquet. You know, I think we underestimate the power of unity. And I think we also underestimate what division does to us as well when we are divided. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:10, no discerner, but Paul says, you know, he says, I pray that you may be completely united and agree with each other. He makes that point to the Corinthian church. He said, man, I pray that you may be completely united in mind and thought. We read that and we think it's impossible. I think we think about unity. We think, no, it's too difficult. You say, well, I'm surrounded by disunity. It is tough. I would agree with you. It's challenging to have complete unity. But it's still something we need to strive for. In John 17, Jesus' prayers for the believers, when he prayed for the believers, he said, I pray that there may be complete unity. That's what Jesus prayed for, complete unity. And I think, as difficult as it may be, you may think this is an impossible dream, it's something that we should strive for because it makes such a difference. The difference it makes in parenting is phenomenal. A child's upbringing can be decided purely by just parents agreeing. You may not have all the right, you may think, you know, but I'm not sure we're doing it the right way. And yeah, it's tough. You may not always have the right way to have a parent. You may not have always the right advice. You may not always do things right. But I tell you now, if you decide to do it together, that makes all the difference. You may be a little bit over the top. You may be a bit strict. Sure, it's hard to find that middle ground. But provided you're unified, that makes all the difference. And I'm telling you now, for a lot of parents, that's what, and you see it. You see, and you know who's the soft one, don't you? Who the little ones run to? I'll tell you who the little ones run to. Really? Okay. In my household, it was Dad. I used to run to my mum. My mum was a softie. I guess it's true that I was going to say Dad's, but because I always find these days, mums tend to be, you know, pretty on it. I think the mums do a great job in this church from what I've seen. You know, if anything, a little bit of the weakness from what I've seen, a little bit, Daddy's a little bit weak at times. You know, he's a bit of a soft touch, the old Dad. Especially when you have daughters involved. I could talk about Loreen and Louis, but I won't. But I've seen Loreen made pluck of those little eyes and when her dad, he just melts in her hand. That's right, Kaloi. You shouldn't talk. I've seen you with Hannah anyway. What are you talking about? I've seen Hannah do a number on you, Kaloi. Huh? It's okay. What do you say? It's okay. Don't worry, Louis. I got your back, buddy. But anyway, we know how this works. You know, soon as the child finds the weaker one, that's where the child goes, right? It's and they play off each other. And that duplicity, you know, that uncertainty is not a good platform for parenting. Unity is crucial for parenting. Marriage, to be unified, is a blessing. It's nothing worse. Nothing worse than not being unified with your wife. And you know, you ever gone to bed after an argument? It's just, the sleep's just not the same. You know, Siberia starts to, you know, Antarctica appears. You know what I mean by that, don't you? The singles probably don't know what I mean. You can imagine, in other words, there's the gap where you might get a little bit of cuddle. No cuddle that night. This big cold space appears now in the middle of the bed. It's like crossing Antarctica to the other side. And it feels that way. Karen and I had an argument the other night. It was, what night? I can't remember what night it was. It was so long ago, only 3 nights ago, whatever it was. She went to bed, I went to bed, and, you know, Antarctica existed, and... And through the night where I'd normally roll over and cuddle her, and I didn't that whole night. You know, I was very aware of it. I just, not going there. But then I woke up and my consciousness appeared, and I rolled over and I said, "Sorry, honey." And the worst thing is when she says, "What for?" And I went, "Oh." And then you left there, let me see, I don't know, for everything. It was all my fault. But it makes a difference, you know, and I remember when I first became a disciple. Let me tell you now, no one had to tell me that I need to marry a disciple. No one, I didn't read the verse. I knew when I became a disciple, I want to marry a strong woman of God. It was clear to me. You didn't have to convince me of that. I knew that if I was going to be, you know, I knew that being a disciple, I need to be with someone. I want to be unified with someone who had the same heart and the same mind in terms of what we're doing together. It is so, so important. I think the church is no different. The church is no different at all. Matter of fact, any organization is the same. The Greek army, which invented the phalanx, you know what the phalanx is? And it's about the 6th century. It was an army formation where they had shields. And they'd march together, you know, and they would approach an opposing army. Provided they had that cohesion, it was very successful. As soon as that line broke or there was a gap somewhere, it allowed someone to come through, in this case the enemy. You know, unity's like that in our lives. You know, I think with God, with Jesus, we have this phalanx. You know, we're almost impenetrable in some sense. But as soon as we separate ourselves, as soon as there's that gap in the line, it allows for the enemy to come through. You know, organizations thrive on unity. But organizations are also brought down by disunity. Churches are no different at all. God's church, we are no different. We will thrive the more unified we are. That's a fact. Now, we can still get by with a little bit of disunity, You know, some people maybe not everyone's on the same page. It's okay. We can kind of still kind of edge forward, but it's not the same when we're unified. It's not the same when we're all on the same page, when we're all got the same heart. We're all striving for the same thing. Unity is so crucial. You know, I remembered, and you know, it's an interesting thing about this is, as much as I'm, you know, preach about this morning, the world is no different. The world wants this. You work for companies, they want you to be totally unified. They want you to be sold out. They want you giving your absolute 100%. I remember Jared, so simple thing, Jared and Brandon used to do Taekwondo, place in Malvern. And then they progressed after a few years and there was this group they could get into called the Malvern Maniacs. Jared, remember? And it was more of a bit of a, you know, they used to go and do competition. Let me tell you, they made it clear. If you missed, I think, more than 3 training sessions for the Malvern Maniacs, you were out. These were like, I don't even know how old Jared was, Jared and Brandon. 13, I don't know what they were. They were fairly young. In fact, I was still in primary. I don't think they did it in high school. So this is like 10 or 11-year-olds. They're saying, listen, buddy, okay, you missed 3 sessions, 3 Taekwondo sessions, you're out of here. That's pretty intense, isn't it, for like an 11-year-old who's just learning a bit of Taekwondo. But that's the world. That's Taekwondo. They said, man, we're a group. We're going to be unified. How much more God's church? When we're fighting for the spiritual salvation of every soul on this earth. What's that going to take? Well, it's going to take absolute unity. You know, in Galatians 5:19, there's a sin there that's mentioned which is called discord. And what's discord? Discord is what? Basically, yeah, the non-harmonious note, right? The thing that's not part of that, you know, in a string of chords, it's the non-harmonious note. That's a discord. It means to disagree. It was very clear. The Bible counted, and that's to a church, okay? I know we study that list with non-Christians. Go remember, but he said that to a church. It's so crucial for us to understand this. You know, we need to agree. What are some things we need to be unified on? We need to be unified on our purpose. We need to be unified on our purpose. And our purpose in life is to do what? One before that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We need to be unified on that. They may think, oh, come on, mate, that's a no-brainer. No, no, no. We need to be unified on that. That God is number one in our lives above all. I appreciate Brett sharing his heart because that was all about him saying, you know what? I realize I'm not where I need to be. You know, surrendering your life to God, putting God number one in your life will make all the difference to your life. And the only way we're going to get by is by putting God number one in our lives. Number two, yes, our purpose, we need to be unified on seeking and saving the lost. And we're all part of that. And we're all involved in that. And we're all doing that. And we're all making our every effort to do that. That makes a big difference. We planted the church here back in 1989. We had 25 disciples. The first year, 103 people were baptized. The church went from 25 to well over 100 within the first year. Within the first year. By the second or third year, I don't know, we were already well over 200. We were cranky, but I'll tell you what it was. 25 people were unified on why they were here. Nobody was here for their career. Nobody was here to be a property manager. No one was here to start a business. Nobody here was... Everybody on that team was here for one reason and one reason only. To plant God's church. And that's all that mattered. And that's all they did. And that's all that was their focus. And as usual, as the church gets bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, those 25 people now are now preoccupied with raising people up and doing this and doing that. And sometimes the message gets lost in translation. And so that all slows down a bit. But imagine if we were a mission church. If we said, okay, we've just got here. We've only just got here. It's only been a couple of weeks. But we're all here for one reason and one reason only. Yes, we have to get jobs. And they had jobs, but we didn't have 25 full-time people. They had jobs. And they had to get jobs. But imagine 200-odd people deciding that we're here for one reason and one reason only. What would happen to the Melbourne Church of Christ? If 25 people can do it, what can 200 people do? It's as simple as that, guys. And it's not about effort. It's not, oh, you told me we're going to go out there and beat the streets. No, no, no. It's just having the mindset. As soon as God sees the mindset, the door's open. I believe that with all my heart. This is not about effort, okay? This is not about beating the street, going out, you know, till 12 midnight. It's not about that. As soon as you decide in your heart that's what you want to do, God opens the door. I think God doesn't open the door because our hearts, he sees in our hearts, that's not our heart. That's not our attitude. We're distracted with so many other things. Our priority and our unity is not seeking and saving the lost. And that's a fact. That's an absolute fact. We're all part of this together. Now, it's great because a girl here today is getting baptized. Come on. Antonella's getting baptized today. And there she is. Stand up, Antonella. There she is. Stand up, Antonella. I know sisters have done a great job. It's going to be fantastic. It's great to see Tommy baptized last week. It was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought so. Sometimes time goes fast. But it was great to see Tommy get baptized. It's awesome. That's what this is about. Our brother Asif. Some of us know Asif. Some of us know our brother Asif was in Sydney for the conference. He brought some friends. Brought a guy named Samuel to the conference. Samuel's getting baptized today up in the Sydney church. Yeah. It's awesome. And Samuel brought a friend of his who's studying the Bible as well. I got a note. I'll tell you how I know. I got a note from Saji. Saji Joseph, right, from Bangalore. Do you know guys know Saji? You know Saji. So he sent me a text this morning. He says, I want you to know, Mike, I appreciate the Melbourne Church helping the Liverpool ministry grow. Asif brought Samuel along. Blah, 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 blah. I said, that's great news. I don't know where Asif is. Hopefully he's up there. He's up there with his buddy, getting, you know, helping to baptize him. I don't know. But that's what it's about. That's what it's about. I mean, a lot of us don't realize, I'm telling you, focusing on other people is the best remedy for all your issues. I'm telling you now, it's a fact. I'm living proof. Like I'm telling you now, it saves your soul. It will save your soul. And if you allow life and whatever's going on in your life to distract you from the mission, you're in trouble spiritually. No question about it. You're in trouble spiritually. And we have to get back on board. And we have to all be unified, every single one of us. You know, our small groups reveal that more than anything else. You know, when you're part of a small group, if everybody's there, it makes all the difference. You know, our commitment to midweek, our punctuality, you know, coming here on time, getting ready. I know some, you might say, yeah, well, I get here, but it's not singing until, you know, the song leaders aren't ready until 20 to 10, 20 to 11. You may say that. And that's true. And I'll say, come on, guys, let's get going. That doesn't mean that you should be here because you're anticipating they're not going to start till 10:40, whatever. That's irrelevant. We have to decide, you know, I'm going to, that's awesome. When you're here and everybody's here ready, and it's like 20 past, you're like, wow, that's great. Man, everyone's ready to go. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. We're all unified like that. Makes a huge difference. What do you think it says to the people we bring along, our friends? It's classic, isn't it? It's classic to come in and yeah, everyone's late, everyone's just cruising in, no one seems to be bothered. That's not a good look. You may think it doesn't matter, but that's not a good look. It's as simple as that. It's just not a good look. And we're going to repent. We're going to repent and get unified about these issues. We're going to repent about Wednesday night. I know we're on the east. I know now we've got to do something about it. We can't just stick in a foyer. We just can't. We're going to have to do something about Wednesday night. We may have to get that lecture theatre, I think. It's going to cost us, but it's better than sitting in a foyer, that's for sure. That's not a good look either, right? We're going to do something about it. But it's good. I'm glad it's happening. But you know what? If you don't come midweek in the east, again, imagine if we're all there. What does it say? What does it say? I get encouraged. Let me tell you now, it pulls me down when I know there are people there that for whatever reason. And look, I know there's the odd times, there's sickness and that. That's not a problem. But if you decide in your heart, I just can't be there, that's just the way it is. That's unhealthy. I can't see how we think God is going to bless what we do when we're not unified. God does not bless disunity. God blesses unity. You know, our giving, we have to figure this out. Let me tell you now, I mean, you know, our giving's getting better. It really is, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And, you know, it goes to good use. I've made it very clear to you guys from word go. We're not gonna, I know someone asked me, I don't know who told me, someone asked me the other day about a building fund. Look, if we converted Bill Gates, we'll have a building fund automatically. But we have no Bill Gateses in the church. Now, some of you are working on it, and that's amen. But come midweek, though. But it's tricky. But I told you guys many, I've said it all along, that we're going to put our money into people. We want staff. And if we had the money, if we had enough money, I'd put you all on staff. Even Samir there, I'd put him on staff too. We'd say, okay, give up your painting job, Samir. Let's go. Let's preach the word together. But I can tell you now, the giving has gotten better, but I don't think we're still all unified on our giving. I don't think we are. There's still a lot of people here who don't give, I think, what they need to. We're blessed. You know, we've got great staff. You know, Sam and Michelle have been a blessing for us in the Melbourne Church. They're doing a fantastic job with the campus and with the West. And it's thriving, and it won't be long. It won't be long before we'll have separate services. I don't know how long, but it won't be long. And that's a good sign that we're moving forward. You know, Lauren, since she got here, Lauren Slavin, she's done a fantastic job with the women and helping Michelle. She really has. She's been a trooper. She's out there by herself, sharing her faith. She just doesn't sit at home. Okay, no, she's out there. She's trying to make a difference. She's helped with many girls become disciples. She's doing super. And it's on the increase. But are we all unified? I don't think so, because I know there's still room to grow with our contribution. Right now, we're in a position where we can put on more stuff. And we're looking at maybe putting on a campus guy in the future. And maybe even, I know the teens aren't here so I can say this, and maybe even someone to help with the teen girls. I said that to Brett and Jeanette, and they were so excited that we might be having a full-time girl working with the teen girls. The teens are a big need. You know, it's hard for these guys to sacrifice what they do, and they do a great job. But that's all of us being unified on these issues. Do you give? That's my question. Do you give? What's your giving like? All of us. All of us. You know, I don't want to use the word bludger, but I will. It's a very Australian term. But I feel like if you come here and you're a member of this church, you don't give, then you're a bludger. I'm going to say that. I'm not trying to be rude. But you're bludging. You're here, the church, we all contribute to pay for these things and make these things happen. And if you're here and you don't give, it's just bludging. And I don't think that's the spirit of the New Testament at all. There's a sense that we need to be unified on these things. All of us. If God sees us all giving, and we can have a theological debate about tithing and all these things. It's not about tithing. You want to debate about tithing? I don't really care. But if we all decide, you know what, let's all give 10%, well then let it be. That's not the issue. You can build a strong case for tithing. The Bible says be more righteous than the Pharisees. And when they tithed in the Old Testament, it was way more than 10% because they tithed of a lot of different things. It's irrelevant. If we say let's all give and we all go, yeah, that's a good thing, and everyone's striving to do it, then jump on board. God will bless that heart. God will bless that attitude. That's going to make a difference when God sees that. And we'll put on more stuff. And let me tell you now, we've got a lot of things to do. John and Danny, you know, off to Perth. Sorry, thanks, Danny. Danny mimicking up there. I'm going to Perth, by the way. They're sacrificing heaps. Let me tell you now, they are sacrificing. Now, they want to go. That's not like they're dragging the ball and chain behind, you know. It's not like, oh, yeah, I'm carrying my cross. Can you see how big it is on my back? It's weighing me down. No, they're excited. They're nervous, but they're excited to go. We're supporting that with our missions contribution. If it wasn't for us, Perth could not afford them. And there's Papua New Guinea as well. You know, it all adds up. We put on these people here. We're already thinking. We put on more staff here. We're not just thinking about Melbourne. We're thinking these staff then can be trained up and go elsewhere. We talk about Adelaide, you know. We talk about Perth. And everybody's thinking the same in this region now. Sydney's thinking the same thing. They've got a bunch of people raising up. They're not going to keep them for themselves. They're going to give them up. We're all working together. And you know what? You know, people told me out of the conference in Sydney, they said, there's one thing that really inspired them. was the fact that we started announcing that they were working together as a team in the region. That's what people said to me. They said, I was really encouraged. That's the thing I walked away with, the fact that we were working together as a team, as a region, all the churches uniting. That's powerful. That is extremely, extremely powerful. You know, if we decide to do something, it's amazing what we can do together. What time is it? I'm surely well over. Yep. I haven't got to my second and third points. I only got to unity. My second point was, and the winner is... No, not Sydney. Look, I'm going to stop there because it's just gone 12 o'clock. But I think unity is a big point. And I want you to go away and think about this. Jesus made it very clear, a nation divided against itself will not stand. Our church is no different. The more we are unified, the more we make sure we're unified and we agree on these things, our church will become what we want it to be. But more importantly, our church will become what God wants it to be. And that's what really matters. Amen. Amen.